Okay, we are in a three-week series on commitment. And in this series, we are coming at commitment not as a burden to bear, but as a joy to experience. We're trying to redefine commitment, take away some of the fears of commitment that all of us have, and help us experience the joy of commitment that Jesus enables us to experience. We started off the first week of this series when Ajita talked about commitment to the community. Last week, I spoke about commitment to Christ in baptism. And I talked about baptism as an outward expression of an internal desire to identify with Christ. And this week, I want to talk about our commitment to Christ and His church through the joyful practice of tithing. You know, if you've been coming to New City, you would, at the end of the service, just after the talk, we pass a bag around and have a time for giving people an opportunity to offer from their finances back to God. And we often pass this envelope around. And as we pass this envelope around, we encourage people, those of us who are followers of Jesus, who enjoy worshiping Jesus through their finances, we encourage us to give at least 10% of our income or salaries back to God through the church. And that's what these envelopes are about. Now, one of the questions that I'm going to try and answer this morning is simply this. How on earth did the church get the audacity to ask you for 10% of your salary every month for the rest of your lives? You're right. That is what tithing is all about. And we're going to try and really engage with this question. It's a challenging question. Can you see the audacity of that ask? It's not a command, it's an ask. Can you see the audacity of it? I mean, can you think of anyone else in the world who will ask you for 10% of your salary every month for the rest of your lives? Truly audacious. And we're going to talk about where did the church get this audacity to ask, make this kind of an ask. If this is your first time in New City Church, what a week you have picked. I bet you didn't sign up for this. You can relax. Nobody's going to stop you on your way out and ask for your checkbook, right? Most of us here have been, if this is your first time or second time, most of us who are here have been invited by someone. You're here because someone invited you. I bet that person didn't tell you that he or she is giving 10% of his or her salary every month. If he or she had told you, I bet you wouldn't have come. Now, if you want to take a minute to settle this with the person who invited you, I'm happy to wait. I'm happy to give us a moment. Go ahead, please settle this. Ask him, why on earth didn't you give us this critical piece of information before inviting us? Sure, the music was good, but for that music, you want me to give 10% of my salary every month for the rest of my life? No way. I was just kidding. Right? So we don't expect new people. We don't even suggest that they do. You're welcome to, but we don't, insist or even suggest or request. We don't do that. But those of us who are followers of Jesus, we enjoy giving this. And I'm going to share a little bit more. There are quite a few of us who do that. So if this is your first time, I want you to relax, be relieved. We don't expect you to give 10%. And I know you're relieved. You're probably thinking, of all the things I could do with 10% of my salary, why on earth would I want to give it away? Yes, imagine all the things you could do with 10% of your salary for the rest of your lives. Now, think about this. Most of us here in New City who are followers of Jesus, who are truly passionate and committed to Jesus, voluntarily and joyfully give at least 10% of our salary every month to New City, and we intend to do that for the rest of our lives. Imagine that. And I'd like us to think about it. What will make reasonably intelligent, real people, not freaks, real people like us, to joyfully give away 10%. And I'm going to try and help you understand that. So we don't expect you, if this is your first time in a church or a second time, or you've been coming here for a few weeks and you're here just to, you know, check Jesus out, you're exploring Jesus, you're kind of curious. If that's where you are, we don't expect you to give. So we want you to relax. But what we'd really like for you to do is as we talk about tithing, understand and maybe appreciate why Jesus followers are so free in giving their money. I mean, if you had any exposure whatsoever to any Christian context, you know that followers of Jesus love serving the poor. You know that, right? So maybe you can appreciate why we enjoy doing that. There are two, and so this practice of giving at least 10% is called as tithing. Okay, so basically 10%. And there are two wrong ways to talk about tithing. The first wrong way to talk about tithing is talk about tithing as the world's best high return investment policy. If you give 10%, that's it. You know, God's going to bless you so much that you'll be really, you will grow. And a lot of people teach tithing like that. Yes, there is some truth in it, but if that is all we speak about tithing, that is wrong. The second wrong way to teach about tithing is, well, if you don't give, even you're not willing to give at least 10%, well, you face the consequences. God's going to curse you. And when something turns wrong, you know, don't come and ask for prayer. You know, you have to fix this. And the second wrong approach to tithing is basically to scare people into giving 10%. And that is also wrong. And I think the third and the right way to talk about tithing is talk about tithing in the light of what Jesus Christ did for us. And that's the way I'm going to talk to us about tithing. And that's the way, if you're familiar with New City, that is the only way we talk about everything under the sun. We always talk about everything through the beauty of what Christ Jesus did for us on the cross. And I've intentionally picked a passage this morning through which we're going to understand tithing. I've intentionally picked a passage in which you can make these two errors. You can preach tithing as a high return policy, but you can preach tithing as something to scare people into giving. You can preach those from those passages, but we're not going to do that. We're going to talk about how to look at tithing from the beauty of what Jesus did for us. I'm going to read for us a passage from a book called Malachi. Malachi is a prophet. A prophet is a messenger of God. It is the last book of the Old Testament. Old Testament is the part of the Bible which was written before Jesus was born here on earth. And allow me to read that verse out for us. I am the Lord, I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. But you ask, how can we return when we have never gone away? Should people cheat God? You have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes to the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great, you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Allow me to just pray for us for a minute. Lord, we come before you, and we pray that through money, would you help us to see Jesus? We know this is not about money, but this is about Jesus. And help us to see Jesus this morning. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you see this passage, you know what I'm talking about. You can preach tithing as a high return investment policy, because God does say, if you tithe, I'm going to bless you so much that you won't have place to keep it. But God also says, you have cheated me of your tithes. There's anger in the text, that there's anger of God in that text. So you can also preach it in a way that scares people, but that's not what you're going to do. But we're going to look at this passage through the good news of what Jesus did for us. Now, what I'm going to do is, there are many layers in this passage, and I don't think I can do justice to it in the next 35 minutes or so. So what I've done is I've pulled out four simple things which capture part of the essence of this passage. And we'll revisit this passage sometime later this year. So we want to look at four things from the passage. First, God here is not talking about the law. He's not talking about rules, and I'll show us how. He is talking about grace. The second thing I want to pull out from this passage for us is, God is not talking about money. He is talking about our hearts. The third thing we're going to look at is, God is not just talking about blessing. He is talking about mission. And the last thing we look at this morning is, God is not talking to us as individuals, but he's talking to us as community. Let's move straight in to the first thing we want to look at. God is not talking about the law. He is talking about grace. You know, this is preached as a command. Tithing is often preached as a command to be obeyed. And tithing as a practice was started in the Old Testament times. Abraham did it. We won't get into all the details. As I said, we'll look at it another time this year. But it became a law under Moses. It became a rule that God gave his people under Moses. And many churches still teach it as a command. Now, we think tithing is 10%, but that's not true in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there were three tithes, not one tithe. So tithing in the Old Testament is actually 30%. The first tithe is a tithe they would keep aside for the Levites. Levites were the priests or the pastors in the modern day language, who work full time in the church. So the people of God's people gave 10% for the priests and the Levites. The second 10% they gave as what is called as a tithe of feasts. And so they would set aside 10% and they would make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and they would use the second tithe for their family for this pilgrimage to go take some time off to meet with God, to be with him. The third tithe of another 10% they would set aside to give to the poor. If you're interested, I can just let me know. I'll be very happy to email the references. I'm not getting to all those details this morning, but I just want, I would like us to know that in the Old Testament, there is not one tithe of 10%, but there are three tithes of 10%. So if we have to preach the law, I have to preach a 30% tithe, 30% of our monthly income. So, but this passage, I don't want to come at it from a law point of view, a rule point of view. And I don't think God himself is coming at it, this passage, from a rule point of view. Look at this passage. Verse 8. Should people cheat God? And this is God speaking to people. You have cheated me. I mean, how much more confrontational can it get? Can you feel the anger in this, God's anger in this verse? But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? This is people trying to defend and justify themselves. And God replies, crystal clear, no doubts about what he's saying. You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. So on the face of it, it does seem that God is talking about the law. That's not true if you see the passage is in full context. Clearly, the Israelites are not paying their tithes. They are not giving their tithes. But look at the verse which precedes this verse, which is verse 6. I am the Lord. I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. God is saying descendants of Jacob is basically Israel, which is all of God's people in the Old Testament. God is saying, I do not change. If I have changed all of you descendants of Jacob because you're not tithing, you would have been destroyed for violating my command. God is saying, you deserve to be punished. You deserve to be destroyed, but I have not destroyed you. And the reason God gives for not destroying them, he's saying, I am the Lord, I do not change. Now, so what is this aspect about God in which he has not changed? And that is found in the first verse of the book of Malachi. And God starts off this book by saying the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. The book which talks about Israelites cheating God begins with the verse where God says, I have loved you. And God says, because I have loved you, and you have violated the rule, and because of violating the rule, you deserve to be destroyed. I am an unchanging God. I always love you. That is why I have not destroyed you. So when God is bringing up the issue of tithing, he doesn't come with the stick of the law. He comes with love, the love of a father. Is God talking about obeying rules in this passage? Or is he inviting us to enjoy his love? God is not talking about the law. He is talking about grace. At New City, we therefore do not want to see tithing merely as obeying the law. We choose to see tithing as a joyful commitment of love that we make to God and in response to his love for us. One of the phrases we love in New City is the phrase love discipline. We never use the word just discipline because, you know, that's meaningless. It is our love which encourages us into the joyful discipline of tithing. It is our love for Jesus that inspires us to the joyful discipline of giving away at least 10% of our salary for the rest of our lives back to Jesus through his church. And to us, therefore, the one verse which really captures the heart of tithing is a verse that is prompted in love. And this verse is something that Paul shares. Paul, for those of us who do not know, is an amazing follower of Jesus in New Testament. This is how Paul talks about generosity. This is from a book called 2 Corinthians, which is a New Testament book. It is written by Paul. And this is what Paul says. I am not commanding you. There you are. This is not about rules. Tithing is not about rules. Generosity is not about rules. I am not commanding you. But I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. And then he says something that is so beautiful. And Paul comes at generosity and tithing through the good news of what Jesus did for us. Allow me to read this for us. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. God is not talking about the law. He is talking about grace. He is coming at a tithing from grace. Now, if this is the basis on which we are talking about tithing, I think I'm being really stupid in asking for 10%. An appropriate response to God becoming poor for us so that through his poverty we might become rich, an appropriate response for that is not giving 10% of our salary, but giving 100% of our time, our money, and our very beings back to God. At New City, we don't want to settle for anything less than giving and surrendering our entire lives back to God, just as we sung during the songs in worship. Do you see the audacity? Do you see where the audacity is coming from? In terms of asking and encouraging followers, it's not a command. We do not command people to tithe. We share them about Jesus. We invite them to the joyful commitment of tithing. That was the first thing we looked at from the passage. The second thing that I want to look at from the passage is God is not talking about just money. He's talking more about our hearts. Sorry about the third line. That's a typo. Forgive me. God is not talking about just money. He is talking about our hearts. Let's go back to the passage that we saw. Let me read small portions from it. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. But you ask, how can we return when we have never gone away? Should people cheat God? You have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. The heart of the passage is not money. What is the first thing that God is addressing before he talks about money? The first thing that God says is, return to me and I will return to you. God is talking about the heart. You know, when our primary love is Jesus, I can assure you, tithing becomes such a joyful giving away. When Christ is our primary love, tithing becomes such a joy to give. I want to share my journey in terms of my own life and the struggles I've had with tithing, and then before I discovered the joy of tithing. I began working as a business journalist in the year 1994, and my starting salary at that point in time was 1,500 rupees. And at that point in time, Christ was without doubt the primary love of his heart. I come from a Brahmin background, as most of you know, and I had just become a follower of Jesus, and I just loved Jesus with all my heart. And so when I heard about tithing, I said, no way I can settle for 10%. I want to give 30%. And I started giving 30% of my salary, which is 500 bucks out of my princely salary at that point of time of 1,500 bucks every month. And I found so much joy in doing that. As the years went by, somewhere down the line, Christ ceased to be the primary love of my heart. My career, my job as a business journalist, became the primary love of my life. And so over the next four or five years, I don't remember exactly, my salary kind of shot up from 1,500 bucks to 30,000 rupees a month. And by the time I started earning 30,000 rupees a month, I wasn't giving a single paisa to God. Now, when I was earning 1,500, 30% was so joyful. But 30,000, I couldn't even give 10 bucks. Because Christ was no longer the primary love of my heart. So in seasons that I was very passionate about God, I find it very easy. I found it very easy to give not just 10%, but a lot more than that. So if I look back at my own life, I see it as a graph. When my passion for Jesus, when Christ, when my love for Jesus is going up, invariably, without any effort, my giving would go up. But in seasons of my life, like that phase between 96 and maybe 99, 2000, when my love for Jesus was just going down as my career became an idol, and that became the most important thing in my life, as my love for Jesus was going down in the graph, my giving was shooting down even more faster. Does God need our money? Of course he doesn't. Money is always secondary. It doesn't really matter. But what matters is our love for Jesus. And that is why God is saying, return to me first. And return to me first. You know, in inviting us to the commitment, joyful commitment of tithing, God is giving us an opportunity to test our hearts every month. You know, over the past decade or so, maybe longer, because God, in his grace, has helped me love Jesus more and more. Every time, when that time of the month comes for me to write out my check for my tithe, I find such joy in giving back, such freedom, such joy. I do not tithe because it's a rule I have to obey. I tithe because I love Jesus. I want to give everything, not just my money, back to God. There's an interesting conversation that is happening here between God and his people. God is saying to the people, God, his people, you have scorned me and you have gone away from me. And Israel replies, we have not gone away. Israel is basically calling God a liar. God is saying, from generations, ever since the days of your ancestors, that's hundreds of years. God is saying, for hundreds of years, you have gone away from me. And Israel is saying, no, we have not gone away from you. We are very much with you. Israel is so blinded that they are not able to see that the love for God in their hearts has gone. It has vanished. And And then God says, look at your money. If you're not, you're so blinded that you cannot see, why don't you look at your money and how you're spending your money? Maybe that will help you see that you no longer love me. God is encouraging the Israelites to see how they use their money as a measure of how much God's people love God. And I want to give us a moment for us to reflect and think about this. If our money were one measure of our love for God, how would we rate ourselves? The key thing here is God is not after our money. He doesn't need our money. God is after our hearts. The third thing we want to look at from this passage is God is not talking about just money. He is talking about mission. Let me explain that. Look at that passage again. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant. Your stock options will multiply like crazy. Your performance bonuses will double. You will get incredible increments. That's in modern day language. I will guard them from insects and disease, the crops, in the Old Testament context. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So it does seem, if we read just this portion of the passage, that tithing is all about blessing. It does seem that the goal of tithing is God's people give to God and God blesses his people back. And that's the end of the story. It seems like a high return policy, but it's not. If you see the passage in the full context, look at the next verse, verse 12. Sorry, that's not here. The verse 12, let me read that out for us. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight. God is saying, if you tithe, I will bless you so much that there won't be any room. It'll overflow. It'll overflow so much that all the nations of the world will be able to see that you are a special nation, that you are a special people, and you are so prosperous. And what happens after that? All the other nations come to God's people and ask, how are you so prosperous? What makes you so successful in your career? How have you risen so much in your career? Are you so prosperous? And then the people of God, we would have an opportunity to say, the God we worship, Christ Jesus, he is the source of all our blessing. And we love him so much that these blessings don't matter. We joyfully give back to the church and to serving the poor. The goal of tithing is mission. God wanted to bless his people not for their own sake, but that blessing in the Old Testament context could display his glory. In our context, that blessing that we have is channeled back to God's work. The goal of blessing is mission. Many of us in New City who are followers of Jesus, we give at least 10% of our salary, as I was sharing before. But why do we do that? We give it because we believe that God's blessing on our lives is to be shared as mission. Let's say, for example, that none of us in New City tithe. None of us give, forget 10%, that we don't give any money at all. Let's say, hypothetically, that over the last 1.5, 2 years that we've been meeting in this hall, that none of us give any money. If we do that, what would happen? We wouldn't be able to meet because we wouldn't be able to pay the rent for the facilities. So a bunch of people, the early followers here in New City, because God has inspired us, because we love Jesus so much and we're giving back joyfully, we are able to hire out a swank and nice facility like this. And you've been able to invest in all of this equipment and the sound and all of that. And we are able to use this place to share the love of Jesus with a lot of people who do not know Jesus. This is possible only because of those of us who are followers of New City who have been tithing consistently and regularly over the last year and a half and longer. I want to celebrate that. I want you to recognize that because you have shared your blessing, that blessing has been rooted as mission to be able to, for us to share the love of Jesus to those who do not know Jesus. You know, last year, we've just finished a financial year, March 2016. Last year, our tithe and offering, those of us who are as followers of Jesus, were tithing, our tithe and offering was a little over 13 lakh rupees throughout the year. Of the 13 lakh rupees, about 70% we spent on the renting out of this facility and the snacks and all of the other ancillaries. The remaining we spent on equipment. The remaining we spent on our outreaches and other administration and other expenses. So that is how the money that we are being used, pulling in together, is being used for mission. If we didn't tithe, we would have no hall to meet. There won't be a church. There won't be a mission. New City Church is a church on mission. And we believe in faith that God is going to just fill this hall out with a lot of people in the city, professionals and artists, people like us, who desperately need the love of Jesus to find and experience deep fulfillment in their lives. As we continue to give financially and as we continue to give ourselves to serve sacrificially the people we invite and welcome to New City, we believe in faith God is just going to fill this hall out. And we're not going to have space. We believe in God's time that one service will not be enough for all the people we come. We believe we'll have to do two services perhaps. We believe we'll have to plant more churches in more different parts of the city. We believe all of that is going to happen, and we believe all of that is going to happen by the tithing towards mission of those of us here who, as followers of Jesus, joyfully enjoy giving our finances to God. Our tithes will fund our mission. Your tithes will build His church. If we are to grow as a church, we have to grow in our generosity. If we believe all the money we earn belongs to us, it's ours for us to keep, then there is no mission. So in this context, the point I'm trying to make is God's heart is pained not because people are not giving money. God's heart is pained because God's mission has come to a pause. Because the people are not tithing, God's not able to bless them. And because they are not blessed in the Old Testament context, the nations are unable to see the true God, the God of Israel. And in our context, if we are not giving, missions will come to a standstill. And that's what pains the heart of God. God the Father, who gave His Son to die for us on the cross, His mission is coming to a pause. His mission is slowing down because the people He redeemed by the sacrifice of His blood are hesitant and reluctant to give at least 10% of their earnings back to God. Imagine the anguish in the heart of God when we find it difficult and struggle to give back 10% when we've received the sacrifice of Jesus for the atonement of our sins. So the promise of blessing is not for our enjoyment alone. It's good to enjoy. We're not at all against enjoying. We're not saying you can't own a car or you can't own a nice house or you can't go on a holiday. We're not at all saying that. You're saying that the heart for mission must inspire our generosity. So I'm going to just tie this passage up with a couple of asks. And I'm feeling audacious today. I'm feeling audacious today because I'm seeing a God who gave His Son, Jesus. So for those of us who are tithing, who have without fail over the past 2 years, 3 years that we've been meeting together, first as a group and then as a church, over the time, for those of us who have consistently always given 10% of your salary, I want to challenge you, would you consider giving more than 10% in the coming years? Why? For mission. We are going to grow. And if we are going to grow, God is going to grow our church, His church, through our tithes, from the blessings He gave us. And as we give, as you step up and give, I'm willing to bet God will bless you. But I want to end there. I don't want to preach tithing as a high return investment policy. But as He gives us more, I would challenge you to increase your generosity. Would you consider going from 10% to 12%, from 12% to 15%, 15% to 20%? As God blesses you, would you give back? Would you give sacrificially to mission? For those of us who are not tithing, please hear me right. Do not feel any condemnation whatsoever. Because God is not speaking to us from the law. He is saying, I love you. To those of us in the book of Malachi, to God's people who are not tithing, what is the first word God tells them? I love you. I love you. Before he says anything. So those of us who are not tithing, the first thing I want us to hear is God loves us, whether we tithe or whether we do not tithe. But having given us that freedom, it is not a rule. We will never preach tithing as a command and a rule that you must obey in your city. We want to preach first, experience God's love. God loves you. Experience that love. The moment we experience that love, tithing is going to just flow out joyfully for us. So those of us who are not tithing, I would encourage us to just enjoy the love of God in Christ Jesus. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. Enjoy his love. Do not feel under any pressure. Just because some of us are tithing, don't feel any pressure to pretend or just tithe because we are tithing. Do not feel any pressure. As you experience God's love, he will open up your heart. We believe in that. And that's how we want to approach tithing, as a love discipline. We love God first, and the discipline follows automatically. So tithing is not about money. It's about God's mission. People who do not know Jesus, coming to know Jesus, because a few Jesus followers are crazy enough to give at least 10% of their salary for the rest of their lives and more. The last thing that I want to share with us as we bring this talk on commitment, the joyful commitment of tithing. Do you see the joy of giving 10% away? Because people who do not know Jesus can experience the joy and fulfillment of Jesus. That's the joy of commitment. The last thing we want to look at is God is not talking to us as individuals. Sorry. God is not talking to us as individuals. God is talking to us as a community. There is great error in seeing tithing as an individual activity. And I must confess that I have predominantly so far looked at tithing as an individual activity. Yes, it is an individual decision. For example, I cannot decide that you have to tithe, nor can you decide that I have to tithe, right? It's an individual decision. We are free to make that decision. But the Bible, in this passage especially, is not talking about tithing as an individual. It may be an individual decision, but it is not an individual activity. Look at this passage. God is always talking about tithing to us as a community, together. In this context, God is talking about tithing. He's addressing the entire nation. Look at this. Look at verse 9. You're under a curse because you've not tithed, your whole nation. God is not talking as individually and saying, you're not tithing, you're not tithing, you're tithing, you're not tithing. That's not how God is doing. But God is saying, as a nation, as a community, as a church, he's talking about tithing to us as a community. Or look at the blessing of tithing in verse 12. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land. God is not saying, if you tithe, you will be blessed. If you tithe, you will be blessed. God is not saying that. God is saying, as a community, if you tithe, the land will be blessed. And I want to say this. As a church community, if we tithe, our city will be blessed. Because we are called by God to be his ambassadors, not just to the church, but to the entire city. In our tithing, and God talks about us as a community. He's calling us to consider, talk about tithing as a community. What do we believe in tithing about as a community? Tithing is not just an individual exercise. It's a community exercise. What am I suggesting here? rather than think about tithing as individuals, we need to talk about tithing as a community. Simply because this passage addresses the blessing and blessing of tithing and curse of not tithing as a community, but as not as individuals, but as a community. That's how this passage is talking to us. Tithing is a community exercise. Those of us, I want to talk to those of us who are followers in New City about tithing just a little bit more. Those of us who are not followers are welcome into this conversation. You're not only welcome to participate in the conversation, you're welcome to participate in tithing as well. You're welcome to tithe even if you are not a follower of Jesus. We're not putting any pressure on you. We will not force you. There is no command. We're not even requesting you. We're not even encouraging you. But we want you to know that if you choose to, you are welcome to do so of your own accord. Why is God talking about tithing as a community and not as individuals? One of the verses he uses that is the word storehouse. He says, bring all the tithe to the storehouse, and from the storehouse it is used. That is, the storehouse is in the Old Testament context. In the New Testament context, New City Church is the storehouse. The local church, the church we belong to, is the storehouse. So our tithe needs to come to the storehouse. Look at it this way. Let's say we all tithe. And you say, you know, I really feel burdened for trafficked children, so I'm going to give 15% of my salary to trafficked children, to that NGO which works with trafficked children. And somebody says, you know, my heart is really for street children. And there's another NGO which works for street children, so I'm going to give my 15% or 10% to street children. And somebody says, my heart is for migrant laborers coming into the city, so I'm going to give 10% to that. If that's how we do, we are no longer a community on mission. Right? It is only when we flow together as a community. See, we work together, right? Everything we do together. We enjoy having meals together in people's homes. We enjoy doing community Bible reading together. We enjoy coming together for corporate worship on Sundays. And therefore, tithing also must come to the local church, the church we consider as the church that we belong to, and together as a community on mission, we allow the leaders to decide what's the best way for that money to be spent. And the best way, the predominant way money should be spent is on mission. That's another talk. And from this passage, we can glean how does a church, as I said, we won't have time for all of that. How does the church invest the money that comes into it as into the storehouse as tithes and offering? Tithing, therefore, is one way of expressing our belonging to this church. I know it's a question that gets asked frequently. Why must I tithe to the local church? I know some of us, many of us don't have that question. It's the most logical thing to do for most of us. But I do know some of us may have the question. So let me just share this very simply. If you go, I mean, I think there's a Burger King right next door. If you go for lunch to Burger King today after the service, would any of you come back to me and ask me, can I please pay my bill in McDonald's? You wouldn't do that, right? You don't have lunch in Burger King and pay the bill in McDonald's, right? The simple principle is we pay where we eat, right? So where we are nourished, where we are encouraged, where we grow in Christ, that is where we tithe. And tithing is a community affair. If we can come together in the way we're going to invest our time, intentionally, strategically, we are very clear of God's call on our lives. You're called to reach professionals and artists in the city. And if we stay focused on those kind of things together, flowing together as a community, there is greater impact on the city. Together, we can make a greater impact on the city rather than us individually. I'll just share one more thought and we'll close. We're going to end with communion. One day, Jesus' disciples walked up to Jesus and said, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, sure, I'll teach you to pray. And this is how I'd like you to pray. And he taught this prayer to his disciples. He says, this is what Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, holy be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Do you see that it is not an individual prayer? Do you see that it is a prayer as a community? God is not asking us to pray, "My Father in heaven." He's asking us to pray, "Our Father in heaven." And then God goes on to say, "Give us today our daily bread." You know, when we pray for our provision, "God provide for me," God's saying, change that perspective. Why don't you pray for your community? Give us today. When you pray for provision for yourself, why don't you pray for provision for the entire community of New City that is belonging together? God is not only saying tithing is a community affair, God is saying praying for provision is also community, is a community affair. So I think it'll be a great idea. Whenever we pray for financial provision in our lives, can we pray together as a community that God would bless all of us? That's at the very heart of the vision for New City. We want all of us to rise to high places in politics, in business, in art, in fashion, in designing, in every area, in law, in every area. We want our people to be successful and rise up for God's glory, that at places of influence, we can share the love of Jesus. Because it is in the high places that the love of Jesus is least known in the city of Mumbai. Tithing is all about mission. This morning, I want to close, as I'm going to request the band to come up, I want to close by inviting us to communion. For those of us who are tithing joyfully, sacrificially, regularly, as we walk up to these emblems that represent the body of Jesus that was broken for us and the blood of Jesus that was shed for us, as we walk up to participate in these emblems, may I suggest that our tithing decisions, the joy of commitment through tithing, may I suggest, let it be measured by the love of God that is expressed for us here. For those of us who are not tithing, as I said, God loves us. And would we come to this table to experience God's love and ask God for the grace of giving? God will give us the grace. Let it take time, no pressure, do not rush. Give only as love. The discipline should be preceded by the love. I would say, do not give if you don't feel the love of God inspiring you to give. I want to just close with this verse. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich."